tonight before I came over here, Adan had finished the things that I told him he had to do before he got to do what he wanted to do, which was his piano practice and his drum practice. So he finished it up, and he said, "Okay, Abba, I'm all finished." And I said, "That's great, and it's still early. You have plenty of time to do whatever you want to do." And he said, "I'm just not sure what I want to do." And I said, "Well," I said, a good thing to do in that case is to close your eyes and ask yourself what Hashem wants you to do." And so he closed his eyes and he went. He opened his eyes. And I said, "Did he get a message what Hashem wants you to do?" And he said, "Yeah, but it's not exactly what I want to do."
It doesn't sound fun. It's really, it's help your mom.
So, it's funny. There's a metaphor that's used in the Tanya to talk about God's will versus my will, which is the metaphor of the chariot and the horse and the rider. Mm-hmm. This is a metaphor that's used in other cultures. I've seen it in definitely in yogic stuff. I'm sure it's used in lots of different traditions. But anyway, there's three different things. There's the inanimate chariot, and there's the horse that carries it, does all the work, and then there's the rider that's controlling what's going on. And so, in the Tanya, it seems to be talking about it as if the horse is a metaphor for the ego, or the animal soul, nefesh bamit, and which is also the ordinary sense of me. That's the horse, what I want to do, right? That's what I want to do. And then the rider is supposed to be the divine impulse or the divine soul, the spiritual essence, that it is our work to make that the rider, you know, so that the horse isn't controlling where you go, what you're doing. Is that you have to remember to shift your identity from the horse to the rider. Because we tend to, if we're unconscious, then we tend to think of ourselves as the me, as the I, as the what I want to do, and forget what our spiritual essence wants to do. And usually, since we're identified with the horse, it's helpful to ask ourselves, what does God want me to do? Even though that question is eliciting something that actually we really want to do, but it's a deeper part of ourselves that we may not be in touch with. And so asking ourselves, using that method of inquiry, what does God want me to do? Or whatever word you want to use for God that you can buy into as that which is a higher intelligence, something that is above you and is and has the power and intelligence to guide you, you know, then you can open yourself to that, and you can get a sense that's completely different from a state of not asking that question. You know, just asking that question can awaken a part of yourself that was previously asleep, or that you were previously not aware of. So, according to the work of the Tanya and the aspiration to be a Beinoni means that we have the horse and the rider within ourselves. That's the two basic parts of ourselves. And so, but we do have the power to awaken the rider within ourselves. But then there's a third entity, the chariot. And according to the tradition, as the Alter Rebbe brings out in several parts of the Tanya, he brings out that the patriarchs in the Torah were considered chariots in the sense that they had no will of their own. They were just complete manifestations of God's will. The horse has a will of its own, but it can be yoked, and that's our goal, is to be able to yoke it. But ultimately, chariot represents the level of the dissolution of that sense that we are a separate self, that's somehow separate from God. And that's what And that's what the patriarchs were. According to the tradition, that's what they were called. They were called chariots. But to the way I see it, it seems to me that these three aspects are actually within our own experience in any moment. That the chariot is not simply something that is for the patriarchs or for some tzaddikim. But the chariot represents a certain level of consciousness which can be with us now. And that is that if we open ourselves to what does God want me to do, then sometimes, like Eidan tonight, sometimes we feel a contradiction. We can actually feel our own will is a little different from what we feel actually called to do. Right? I know I have to do this. That's obvious. Now that I'm aware of it and I'm conscious of it, obviously the right thing is this, but I actually don't want to do that. I want to do this. And yet, the deeper part of myself wants to do what's the right thing, wants to do what's God's will, even though my smaller self or my ego self doesn't really want that, you know, crave something else or wants to go in a different direction. So there's a sense of duality there. The chariot level is, well, let me go back. So sometimes we have that awareness of that duality and we have a clear sense. You know, we get a clear message. What does God want me to do? Shavuot is coming up. That's what it's all about, is receiving that clear message, making ourselves open to be a channel for what does God want me to do. But sometimes it's not clear, right? Maybe a lot of times. Sometimes we can ask the question, and all we have are dark clouds. So there was a quote that I read in a book by a small little book by Adyashanti that someone gave me. It was a little quote, and I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was William Blake, but maybe not, so don't quote me. And the quote was, "The fool who persists in his folly becomes wise." Something like that. And so the idea is that if we pursue fully our own imperfection, then it will reveal itself as having a certain kind of purpose. You know, we can, if we don't know which way to go, then that's our reality. That's truth. Mm-hmm. Our brain doesn't have a clue.